This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Betts with Michael Yan, my colleague. He's in Panama City. He's given away his location. Panama City is a very romantic place. The Panama Canal is right outside Michael's window, so is US-1 that flows north from the Panama, the Pan-American Highway flows north to the Mexican border with Texas, and then from there across the United States. However, the Darien Gap, named for the 60 miles of triple canopy jungle, must be traversed starting in Colombia. And there is a request from Panama to Bogota, Colombia, to shut down the migrant traffic. That is not happening. There's a request in Panama to control in some fashion the migrants coming through. The news from Reuters is that Panama is going to raise barriers to come into Panama. No longer $500. You need to show you have $1,000 if you're going to stay 90 days, only 90 days. You also are going to be vetted for criminals. They claim that they're going to deport criminals. These are mysterious claims because my understanding is that people who come through the gap don't have identification or say they don't have identification. Michael's been at the Texas-Mexican border and seen people throw their IDs away before they cross the Rio Grande because they don't want people to know where they're from. They want to make the story up when they reach Texas. Well, it might be the same way in Panama. I'm supposing here, but identification is not what you carry. These are not people who want you to trace back to Venezuela or Chile or any parts of the world, Nepal, for example, or China. Michael, right now you're headed to the Darien Gap. Centerfront is patrolling and keeping order once you get through the gap. You sent me a video recently of the gap, of a descent down a muddy cliffside to an enormous cavern, the bottom of which was filled with water. There were hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in this very beautiful but very dangerous-looking jungle path. That is the gap. Is that correct, Michael? That's what I was viewing.
Right. That's the Darien Gap, the area between Colombia and Panama. They call it the tampon, the plug, and because it's mostly jungle. Now the paths are being, when we first started reporting on this 2 or 3 years ago, John, on your show, it would take a week or 10 days to get through there, sometimes even longer. Now there's people that can get through in a day and a half. And so the path is being, it's being widened. It's being made easier. There's ropes. More and more trees are being cut down and that sort of thing is becoming straighter. One Panamanian told me, he goes, this is how roads begin. It begins with a footpath and then it gets wider and wider and then it becomes an unimproved road. And before you know it, it's paved with bridges. And that's what's happening. It's clear that this is going to eventually be a road. And right now, the Panamanian government is becoming frantic because there's so many people coming in that are staying. It's overwhelming Panama. It's destabilizing Panama. And so at this point, they've announced in the Panamanian news that they're going to make some efforts to start sending some of the aliens back to Colombia and that sort of thing. But ultimately, it's like building a small dike in front of, basically Hoover Dam collapsing behind you. It's like the Africa and Asia and South America are dumping huge numbers of people through the Darien Gap. At this point, sometimes it's as many as 5,000 and 6,000 per day. Keep in mind, when we first started talking about this a few years ago, it would just be a few hundred per day, and that was considered a huge number. Now it can be up to 5,000 and 6,000 per day, and that's not every day like that. But you can see the fact that you can even put through 5,000 in a day now should tell you how much this is growing. It's becoming massive.
We come to what is to be done about the Darien Gap. Last year in 22, you witnessed the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, land at the end of the Pan-American Highway where Los Blancos, the camp, was already established. He landed and to inspect the Darien Gap. Since then, the facilities at the Darien Gap, as you come out of it, where the Pan-American Highway starts, have grown. They're more sophisticated. There are maps being distributed. There's aid. There's food given. These are young people coming through. They don't look desperate to me. They look hardy. They've traversed the triple canopy jungle. They have backpacks. They have sleeping bags with them. They're well kitted out, and they're given a bus ride to Costa Rica. That's what normally happens. And then Costa Rica gives them a ride further north, and eventually they get to Mexico, and Mexico gives them papers, and they go to the Mexican-Texas border. Have I described it all correctly, Michael?
That's true. And some go to New Mexico or Arizona or California, and others will actually end up through various mechanisms just flying to the United States. And so, yeah, you see these things that are happening in New York and Texas and California now. Right. New York is getting in the news, but the same things are happening in Florida, and the same things are happening in California and Texas. It's just being overwhelmed.
And they have
go ahead, sir.
They have smartphones. They have cash. They have friends. They have family in Central America or where they're coming from or in Colombia. In other words, these are young people with resources. Yes, they have Spanish or French or Arabic language, but they have resources. And they're very well informed about the news. They know about New York being alarmed now at the number of migrants who've reached there. They know about the fact that New York has to provide shelter and food and education if you reach New York. They know all of this, and the numbers, to your perception, are growing. I can't even say how fast, because that video you sent me of the Darien Gap, Michael, there looked like there were several thousand people there in the gap, marching it looked like Merrill's Raiders, you know, something out of the Second War, except they weren't armed, to my knowledge. They were organized. Initially, I thought the Darien Gap was for desperate people carrying babies. Maybe it was one time. But now it looks like young people, they looked in their 20s and 30s. Is that what you see coming through in Texas, 20s and 30s?
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly what we warned. I mean, it's unfolding. You know, all anybody has to do is go back and randomly pick up our old reports and listen to them and look what's happening now and see how accurate they are. They're amazingly accurate. This is a straight-up wartime invasion. This is not a bunch of, you know, poor people coming, running from despotic governments. This is the opposite. This is a weaponized migration. By weaponized migration, I don't mean necessarily that everybody's coming in with weapons. Many of those people are coming to the United States and getting weapons. Chinese are coming through and they're posting it on Instagram and WeChat. They're going to ranges and buying guns, and they're actually posting videos of themselves doing this. You know, this one Chinese man, for instance, came through Colombia and Panama, and he was posting videos all along the way. The next thing you know, he's up in the United States and he's shooting guns. You know, he's posting the videos of this stuff. He's just showing how easy it is. You know, and so we've got a lot of people coming through that have more money than the Americans that they're going to replace. We've got others, a lot of people coming through that are not literate even in their native tongues. They don't read and write even in the language of their native tongue. They're of no value to the United States. And at this time, you know, the fight between, for instance, the so-called fight, it's a kayfabe, really, between, you know, the Adams, let's say, and Biden, or Adams and Abbott down in Texas. This is just show. You know, Adams saying, oh, they should stay in Texas. And meanwhile, Abbott saying, well, you know, so-called governor of Texas sending people to New York. The only adult solution here is to close the border and begin mass deportations. This is going to end in war. And I mean straight up kinetic war. As you know, war is my business. And I've been doing it around the world for years. I know it when I see it. This is a weaponized migration. As you know, I was in Lithuania before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, warning about this because Belarus was pushing migrants, trying to push them to Poland. Poland rejected them. Lithuania took quite a few, and I flew up from Morocco with Chuck Holden, and we flew to Vilnius, Lithuania, and said, you know, what's going on here? Why is Belarus pushing these people? And to me, that was a sign of something is up. That's what's happening in the United States right now. It's not just the United States. It's happening across Europe. You'll see, for instance, the Netherlands, where I'm often there, you know, looking at the situation there. They're trying to do the same with Japan and many other places. Look, I was just over in Armenia, as you know. I was just over in Armenia and Georgia, the country of Georgia. Now, look, Armenia is in deep trouble right now with Azerbaijan. You can see that this is kicking up. Again, not a coincidence when I show up to places like Panama. I'm only here because this is of vital importance. The Panama Canal, which is right in front of me, I'm watching a ship go through right in front of me right now. This is vital terrain in the control of our entire hemisphere, right? For various reasons. The canal is one part. Also, the Pan-American Highway is an invasion route to the United States. If you own Panama, which the Chinese are working hard to do, you will have vast influence over North America and South America, right? And as you know, the Chinese are busy at work all over South America right now, while the United States leaves embassies empty.
Michael,
the embassies aren't empty, but I mean we're not. When I say that, I don't mean they're actually empty. I mean that we're not. We have vacated our duties in South America.
Michael, last question. We talked about the Chinese coming through and staying in Panama. That's one of the reasons they're raising the filter for how long you can stay on the streets of Panama, because you're in a hotel now. Have you seen Chinese on the street?
Oh, yeah. There's Chinese all over the place in increasing numbers. And Mandarin-speaking Chinese. Many of the Chinese who have been in Panama for many years are Cantonese speakers. Now you see a lot more Mandarin speakers. Of course, you know, Americans tend to look at Chinese as a language, but Chinese people look at, you know, actually there's Mandarin and Cantonese and Fujianese and all these, you know what I mean? Chinese is more of a class of languages, but, you know, there's many sorts of Chinese. They're not all, it's not like all Europeans are the same, you know, Irish are not, Germans are not Polish, right? It's the same with Chinese.
So you've
got a different type of Chinese coming in.
So you see Chinese nationals on the streets of Panama City.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Puzzling. Michael Yan is in Panama City, headed to the Darien Gap. We're describing events that we've watched the last 3 years. There's no special organizational skill here. We're just looking at things and saying, where is this going? Michael's given you a very good summary of where it's going. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.